Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued.
Have you ever stopped to think about how you actually know what's real? I mean, you look at a tree, or you recognize a friend's face, or you smell your coffee in the morning.
Right.
You just kind of take all that for granted. You just assume it's the truth, right?
Yeah, it certainly feels like that, right?
Yeah.
Your senses are just giving you a direct feed of reality.
Yeah.
But that's what's so fascinating about this whole topic. What we're going to explore today in this deep dive is the idea that what you perceive isn't actually reality itself.
Okay.
But rather, it's your brain's interpretation of it. And it's incredibly sophisticated interpretation.
It really is. So it's almost like lights bouncing off a tree hits your eyes. No. And then your brain steps in and says aha, a tree.
Exactly. It's creating this model. It's taking in all this data and it's saying, for you, that means tree.
So everything around us, our entire experience of the world is kind of like a mental map that our brain is constructing.
Yes. And not just the physical objects around you too. If you think about it, this also applies to your thoughts, your feelings, even your deepest beliefs about things.
Yeah.
Take a belief that you hold about the world or about a particular concept.
Right.
Those beliefs can feel so real to you.
They do.
Almost tangible sometimes.
Yeah.
But unlike that tree we were talking about, they don't necessarily stem from that same shared objective sensory data.
That's true.
Right? Your belief about something could be completely different from someone else's.
Right.
And yet they both feel equally real and valid within each of your minds.
Absolutely.
So that leads to a really big question then. If your brain is constantly constructing your reality, how can you actually tell what's true?
Yeah.
Versus just what your brain is interpreting.
Right. What is actually real versus what is just our perception of reality.
And I think that's the mission of this deep dive, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Let's dive in. Let's step inside the mind.
Okay.
And try and see it not as this perfect recorder of reality, but more as a brilliant and creative, but potentially misleading storyteller.
Yeah. Let's unpack that idea a little bit. That idea of your brain as a storyteller.
Okay.
A lot of us tend to think of our brains as like cameras, right? Faithfully recording what's happening around us.
Mm-hmm.
But the source material makes it really clear that's not quite how it works.
Yeah.
Your brain is fundamentally an interpreter.
Okay.
It's taking in all those electrical signals from your senses.
Right. The light hitting our eyes, the sounds, the pressure.
Exactly. And then it's building a model of the world from that data.
Specifically for each of us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's assigning meaning. So like we said, that pattern of light and color, that's a tree to you.
Oh.
That sequence of vibrations, that's your friend's voice.
Right.
And what's really wild is that what you actually experience directly isn't even that raw sensory data.
Whoa.
It's the brain's interpretation of it.
Really?
You're living in your brain's constructed model of the world.
That's a really wild thought.
It is. And it doesn't even stop there.
Okay.
It's not just the external world that it's interpreting.
So it's interpreting our internal world too.
Your emotions, your gut feelings, memories, even those thoughts.
Wow.
That randomly pop into your head.
Yeah, those are all being interpreted by our brain.
Exactly. Think about like that tightness in your chest you might feel sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
The source material talks about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could be anxiety, it could be excitement, it could be indigestion.
So many things.
It's just a physical sensation, but then your brain steps in, right?
Yeah.
Analyzes the context, draws on your past experiences, creates a narrative to explain what's going on.
Right. So it's saying, okay, this must be anxiety because of this upcoming presentation.
Well, exactly.
Or this must be excitement because of this thing that I'm looking forward to.
And the thing is, it feels so seamless and automatic.
It really does.
You rarely stop to question that process.
Yeah, you just accept it.
You assume that's just reality.
Yeah.
But when you connect it back to evolution, it makes sense.
Okay.
Think about it. Your ancestors didn't need perfect objective truth to survive.
Right. They just needed to survive.
They needed usable truth.
Right.
Quick judgments, fast reactions.
Yeah.
Simplified models that help them avoid danger.
Right.
Find food, navigate their social situation.
Right. If there's a rustle in the grass.
Exactly.
They don't sit there and say, I wonder what that is.
Right. Is that the wind or is that a predator?
Right.
You got to react quickly.
Yeah.
Waiting around for absolute certainty could have gotten you killed.
Right.
But the source material highlights that those mental shortcuts, those evolved mechanisms, mm-hmm. they can backfire sometimes in modern life.
Okay.
Especially when we apply them to things like abstract concepts, like beliefs, values, or the nature of reality itself.
Right.
The same brain that's so good at recognizing faces and, you know, assessing threats
yeah.
can also create these unfounded certainties about things.
But aren't necessarily real.
That aren't based on real evidence.
So really understanding that our brain is this interpretation machine is step one.
Right.
That's how we gain some clarity.
It lets you pause.
All right.
Step back.
Question our assumptions.
Question those initial thoughts and assumptions instead of blindly accepting them.
Right. So now that we understand our brain is interpreting all the time, let's look at beliefs.
Okay.
Let's look at why these beliefs feel so real.
Okay.
If you've ever held a deep conviction about something,
mm-hmm.
you know that feeling of certainty.
Yes.
It's so strong.
It's powerful.
And it feels like truth.
Right. It feels inherently linked to truth.
Yeah. But the source material really clearly says, and this is crucial.
Yes.
Certainty is a feeling. It's not proof.
That is vital to remember. Yeah, certainty does not equal truth.
Right.
It's a feeling, not proof of anything.
So interesting. Your brain is looking for meaning all the time.
Yes. It's wired to find meaning and detect patterns.
Okay.
When something happens to you, especially if it's emotionally charged,
uh-huh.
your brain naturally tries to create a story around it.
Like, why did this happen to me? What does this mean?
Exactly.
My brain is trying to make sense of things.
It wants to make sense of things. And it'll fill in the blanks based on your experiences.
Right.
Your background, your emotional state.
This is why different people can engage in the exact same practices.
Yes.
But come to completely different beliefs.
It's fascinating to think about.
It is. Mm-hmm. So, like, some people might pray. And feel a connection with Jesus.
Right.
Someone else might pray and feel a connection with Krishna.
Someone else might feel the presence of their ancestors.
Or something else entirely.
And each of those experiences feels real to the person having it.
On a neurological level, it is a real experience for them.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean it reflects an objective reality that everyone would perceive.
Absolutely.
Or that it would resonate the same way for you.
Right.
And then on top of that, we have these things called cognitive biases.
Yes, those mental shortcuts.
Yeah, like confirmation bias.
That one's a big one.
Huge.
Once you've formed a belief, you tend to only look for information that supports that belief.
Right, and you ignore everything else.
You downplay or ignore anything that contradicts it.
Right.
And then you add emotional reinforcement on top of that.
Okay.
If a belief brings you comfort.
Yeah.
Like the idea of an afterlife, or it protects you from fear.
Okay.
Like believing in a higher power that's going to keep you safe.
Yeah.
Those emotions strengthen the belief itself.
So the more comfort I get from a belief,
mm-hmm.
the stronger I'm going to hold on to it.
It gets more ingrained.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's the same for moral judgments.
It is.
Like if I immediately feel like something's wrong.
That quick visceral feeling yeah. that something is evil or wrong. The source material explains your brain jumps to that emotional label first.
And
then your rational mind tries to justify it.
So basically what we're saying is
mm-hmm.
feelings aren't facts.
Exactly.
And they're not a great way to measure truth.
Your feelings can be very real,
mm-hmm.
but they're not always a reliable guide to what's actually true in the world.
They can lead to these narratives that feel comfortable, but are not accurate.
But recognizing this can be a really good thing.
It's empowering.
It's empowering.
Because when we become aware of this illusion of certainty,
mm-hmm.
then we can step back and ask, is this true? Or does this just feel true?
You create that little bit of space
yeah,
to question.
Which can be so freeing.
It can be very liberating.
So now that we understand that a little bit more, let's talk about the downsides
okay.
of unquestioned certainty.
The downsides of certainty.
The source uses this really great metaphor.
Oh, yeah.
They describe certainty as a warm blanket
mm-hmm.
that can turn into a cage.
I love that metaphor.
Yeah.
It can feel good at first.
Right.
It's comforting.
Yeah.
But then over time,
it traps you.
It can prevent you from seeing other perspectives.
And the source uses religion as an example of this.
Yeah, it's a great example.
You have billions of people all over the world
mm-hmm.
holding these completely contradictory beliefs.
With absolute conviction.
About the nature of existence.
About God, the afterlife,
mm-hmm.
all of it.
Yeah, you have people who believe in one God.
Right.
And people who believe in many gods.
You have beliefs in reincarnation versus a singular judgment and an eternal heaven or hell.
People who see a personal God guiding the universe.
And others who see a more impersonal spiritual energy.
And all of these people feel certain about their beliefs.
They have that strong conviction.
Yeah. So this is a red flag.
It is a red flag.
If you have a method like relying only on internal conviction or inherited belief,
right?
If that consistently leads to opposite answers,
yes,
then you have to question the method.
It's like if you give a math problem to a bunch of people and they all come up with wildly different answers.
Yeah.
You think, okay, something's wrong with how they're approaching this.
Absolutely.
It's not just the answers, it's the method itself.
And the worst part is this unquestioned certainty can really cause division.
It can.
Because when you're convinced that your view is the only correct one, then it's really easy to see anyone who disagrees with you as not just mistaken,
right,
but dangerous.
Spiteful. Even you see them as the enemy.
You dehumanize them.
It becomes much easier to justify harmful actions when you see someone as less than human.
And it all goes back to this misunderstanding, this idea that our internal experience,
it's a subjective experience,
is the same as reality.
That it's objective truth.
And if someone doesn't share that experience, they must be wrong.
I'm malicious.
But the good news is,
yes,
we don't have to abandon our sense of wonder.
Right.
We don't have to abandon our curiosity.
You can still ask the big questions.
Yeah.
You can still search for meaning.
But we need better tools.
We need more reliable methods.
To navigate all of this.
To sort through the beliefs.
To figure out what's real.
And to understand reality better.
So we don't have to give up on the idea of truth.
We just have to upgrade our tools.
Upgrade our tools.
To overcome these mental blind spots and biases.
And the source lays out some key tools.
Some really helpful ones.
Like critical thinking.
That's a big one.
Asking questions, seeking evidence.
Applying consistent standards of evaluation.
Yeah, so if you read something online that's really shocking,
a surprising claim,
instead of immediately sharing it,
as a critical thinker, you would pause.
Mm-hmm. You'd ask, who's saying this?
What evidence are they giving?
Are there other perspectives on this?
What are the other sides of the story?
There's also this idea of falsifiability.
Yes.
Which is basically a claim about reality is more reliable if it can be tested.
And potentially proven wrong.
Right.
If there's no way to disprove it,
right,
then it's not really that useful of a claim.
It's not grounded in anything.
Right.
Then we have evidence and repeatability.
A good one.
So beliefs that are supported by consistent, repeatable evidence.
Across different contexts and by different people.
Yeah, those are more likely to be true.
They're probably reflecting something real.
Yeah.
As opposed to just your own subjective experience.
There's also peer review and collaboration.
That one's huge.
Really important.
Getting feedback from others.
Especially people who disagree with you.
Can be so helpful.
It can help you identify your blind spots.
And refine your understanding of things.
And finally, emotional awareness.
Yes.
Recognizing when our feelings are really strong.
Especially in relation to a belief that can help you step back and see if those feelings are helpful or not.
And it's important to note that these tools are not meant to take away our sense of wonder.
They're not meant to kill the mystery.
In fact,
it's going to enhance it.
By focusing our attention on what's real.
On what's demonstrably true.
Which can be more awe-inspiring.
Absolutely.
Than just believing whatever feels good.
But the source material acknowledges that questioning beliefs can be hard.
Yeah. It can be scary.
Especially when they're tied to your identity.
Yeah, or your community.
Your sense of belonging.
And the source brings up compassion here.
Right.
Which I think is really important.
It is.
Questioning a belief.
Whether it's your own or someone else's.
Right.
Isn't an attack.
It's not about making someone feel bad.
It shouldn't be confrontational.
And a lot of our core beliefs.
Many of them.
Are inherited.
Right.
We're taught what to believe.
By the people we trust.
Our family.
Our teachers.
And it happens so early.
Yeah, when we're kids.
Before we even have the ability to question things.
Right.
And these beliefs provide comfort, a sense of belonging.
All those important things.
Vital human needs.
But comfort isn't truth.
Right.
And connection and belonging are vital.
Yes.
But connections based on honesty.
And a willingness to question.
Those are stronger.
More authentic.
Than connections based on shared illusions.
Absolutely.
So we need compassion for ourselves and for others.
Compassion is key.
as we go on this journey of questioning.
And the source offers some phrases that can help with that.
Like, I might be wrong, and that's okay.
Such a simple phrase.
So powerful. Acknowledging your own fallibility.
They might be doing the best they can with what they've been taught.
Trying to see things from their perspective.
Truth isn't afraid of questions.
Reframing the act of questioning as a good thing.
Right.
It's not a threat. It's part of learning.
Exactly.
These aren't just nice sentiments.
They're tools.
Tools for dialogue.
For promoting humility.
For cultivating openness.
So it's not about dogma.
Or defensiveness.
It's about learning.
And growing.
Becoming more understanding.
So to sum it all up.
Yes.
Our brain is a storyteller.
An amazing one.
It weaves together our perceptions and our experiences.
Into this incredible tapestry.
That we experience as reality.
And that can be a good thing.
Yeah. But those stories can also limit us.
Especially our beliefs.
Yeah.
When we mistake them for absolute truth.
And the key here is awareness.
Awareness is power.
Right. Because if we understand how our mind works, then we can pause.
Create space.
Between thought and acceptance.
Ask that crucial question. Is this true or does it just feel true?
Is it based on evidence?
Or why are you just feeling certain about it?
And remember letting go of that need for certainty.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you lose curiosity or wonder.
Like exactly.
It can actually enhance it.
Yeah.
It opens you up to new possibilities.
It allows you to see the complexity.
The nuance.
Of everything.
And as we said, truth isn't threatened by questions.
It welcomes them.
So our final thought for you.
Yes.
No matter what your current beliefs are.
Uh-huh.
Stay curious.
Keep learning.
Keep growing.
Become the editor of your own mental stories.
You have the power.
Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.